Yeah, before we just get into Psalm 131, let's just pray and just give this time to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just are here as a church, Lord, and we want to make it our aim in our life and in our church to just glorify you in your name. Lord, I pray that every heart and every ear is just attentive to just hear what you want to say in your word. And Lord, if there's encouragement needed, Lord, may you encourage. If there's rebuke, Lord, may you just rebuke. God, we just want to just lift you up. And Lord, may Jesus be manifested, Lord. And so use me, empower me, and whatever I say is of you. God, Lord, I want to seek an attitude of humility, Lord, so that you may be glorified and lifted up. So we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 131 only has, you know, 3 verses. And I'm like, whew, yeah, 3 verses, and then, you know, I'm done. But these 3 verses are so powerful and has, you know, such truth in it. And even though it's 3 verses, I see one main overarching point and a lesson that we can learn. And this is the lesson. We need to trust in the Lord with our unanswerable questions of our whatever circumstances. You know, think about your circumstances, you know, whether it's a difficult, you know, a struggle, something hard, something that you couldn't even bear. Think about all those, and in the midst of your circumstance or and whatever it is, how you need to trust in the Lord. You know, have you ever had a question that you didn't know the answer to? I'm not talking about, you know, a math question or a science question, because if it's one of those questions, I don't know the answer to it. Exactly. But I mean a question about, you know, in your life. Maybe a question when it comes to a certain circumstance and you just didn't know the answer or the solution to your problem. You know, it may be like, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to pay the bills on time? Or, I don't know what to do with my life when I graduate. I don't know the purpose of my life. I don't know the answer to my life. Is this illness is getting worse. I don't know when I'm going to be healed. I don't know if I'm going to be healed. Like, when is the time, Lord? You know, sometimes, you know, life is going great and it's headed towards, you know, a good direction, and all of a sudden it just goes, you know, downwards from there, and then you start, you don't know where to go, and then you don't know the answer. You have no idea what the answer is. And so there are a lot of questions that we do not know the answer to. But here in the Psalm, we learn from David what it means to trust in the Lord with our unanswerable questions. And so let's take a look at verse 1. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor things too profound for me. So we see here David addressing the Lord Yahweh about the posture and or the condition of his attitude or his body language described in his heart and in his eyes. You see, when you see an overconfident person, an arrogant person, a prideful person, you know, their body language is, you know, super proud. Their chest is puffed up and they're held high. And, you know, when they walk with some swagger, you know, and then, you know, they're really confident with themselves. And, you know, They say like, I got this, you know, I got, you know, life figured out. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, like I can, you know, all this strength is coming from me. And you know, that's a very prideful person. That's a very arrogant person. But look here in verse 1. We see here David, the total opposite of what it is to be arrogant and what it is to be prideful. David remains humble. David remains humble. If there's a lesson that we learn, that we can learn from this verse, is that we need to be confident, not in ourselves, but confident in the Lord. David understood the importance of humility, and he accepted the fact that he didn't have, you know, life's questions altogether. He didn't know all the answers to all of his problems, but he knew, you know, he knew and experienced that the Lord was good. He knew and experienced that the Lord would strengthen him. Church, what about you? Where is your confidence? If you're trying to rely on yourself, if you're trying to rely on another person, the strength of another man, there may be failure. They may let you down. You might let yourself down. But if your confidence is in the Lord, you will see that He will never fail you. You will see that He will keep you going, that grace is sufficient. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. See, it is okay to be weak. It is okay not to have, life all together. David understood that. I believe in Psalm 73, David even said, my heart and my flesh may fail, but the Lord is the strength and the portion of my heart forever. David knew. David knew it's okay to be weak. It's okay to not have everything together. But the Lord, He will never fail. He will never let you down. His ways are good and His ways are perfect. Amen? David also didn't concern himself with great matters nor things that are too profound or, in other words, difficult. When David was uncertain, about things in his life or something was too difficult for him to comprehend and, he just let it be. David, all he did was he just trusted in the Lord. Instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, instead of struggling and trying to comprehend things beyond his comprehension, all that David did was let God take care of that. Church, it is okay to say, I don't know. It is okay not to have it all together. It's okay to not have the solutions to all your problems. When you don't know, go to the one who does. And just trust. I believe it is J.I. Packer that said, the Christian motto shouldn't be let go and let God, but trust God and get going. Verse 2. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. We see here David giving a beautiful picture or an illustration of his calmed and quieted soul. Or you can also say rested, at peace. You see, the moment we put our trust in the Lord, when we just, put our faith in Him, when it comes to difficult circumstances and problems and, when we just trust in the Lord and allow Him to just, be sovereign over our problems, the result is a rest soul. The result is a soul at peace. It isn't anxious or worried, but it's hopeful and confident that God is going to make a way. Look how he illustrates it. Like a weaned child with his mother. Now, when I was studying this, I got to admit, I had no idea what weaned meant. I had no idea what weaned meant. I thought it was, related to some hot dog or some, sausage. And I thought I was like that. But weaned, if you just go on thesaurus and, do a little Bible word study, it just means to separate, to remove, And anyways, for the mothers in the room, whether your child is grown up or there's a newborn baby, for the mothers in the room, you have your baby and, they're in the crib or in the basket. And then sometimes, you go downstairs and then you do the laundry, you do the dishes and then, clean this, clean that. And then, cook food. And then all of a sudden they start crying. And they're like, wah, they're starting to cry. And then, as a loving mother, it's your responsibility to go comfort the baby. And so you go upstairs, you pick them up, off of the crib, and then you start cradling them, embracing them, and start loving them. What happens? The baby calms down. The baby calms down, the baby's relaxed because they know that the mother is there, they know that the mother is going to comfort, and they can go back to sleep. They are calm, they're relaxed, and at rest. And I believe this is a great illustration of the Heavenly Father and His children. we can be weaned like this baby. We can cry, we can be troubled, we can be anxious, we can be, you know, a lot of things that we don't understand, and you know, we're worried. But if and when we choose to allow the Lord, our Heavenly Father, to just embrace us and to comfort us and to just trust in the Lord, you will see that you too and your life will be at rest, just like a baby is to his mother, just like your soul is with the Father. You see, our Heavenly Father puts so much value on us and knows what's best for us. Jesus says this himself about the Heavenly Father in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put in. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they?" You see, just like God feeds the birds of the air, provides for the birds of the air, God will provide for his children. He values each and every single one of us. He will be there for us. Church, you do not have to be anxious. You do not have to be troubled. You can have, you know, internal peace, you know, whatever you're going through, by simply resting in the Lord. Jesus himself in John chapter 16, he says, like, you know, in this world, what will we have? We'll have problems, we'll have tribulations, we'll have sorrow, we'll have pain, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I can give you peace in this world. Next verse 3, last verse. "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." And so, with the confidence and the hope that David had in the Lord, he challenges Israel, and he challenges and encourages them to put their hope in the Lord, to put their trust in the Lord. And I believe that's for every single one too. If you just, you know, insert your name, like Pastor Brent, hope in the Lord forevermore. Cole, hope in the Lord forevermore. You see, we have a reliable God. And I'm going to use Pastor Brent as a sermon illustration. I remember one time we were in Starbucks. He texts me and he's like, "Hey, Jem, want to meet up?" And so I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And then so, I'm like, and so, you know, here we are in Starbucks, and Pastor Brent, he's like talking about how he wants to invest in me and, you know, put all his shares in me. And then in my mind, I'm like, "Yeah, the economy is going to go down. Don't do that, Pastor Brent." You know, in my mind, I didn't really tell it to him, but, you know, he was telling me about my potential and how he wants to see me grow and he wants to see, you know, God using me. And so he's talking about that. And I just opened up and I asked him a question. I'm like, "Pastor Brent, I just want to let you know that, you know, here I am. You know, I want to serve the Lord and I want to, you know, see him use me. But I want to let you know that I'm scared about my future. And I'm scared about my finances and how I'm gonna pay the bills and how he's gonna provide." And then he just affirms me and he encourages me with his story when he started out in ministry. So he started, first service I totally got the story wrong, but now he kind of told me the true story. Anyways, so when he was pastoring in Kamloops, and then when he started Riverside, you know, he came and took a step of faith, and I already forgot the story he told me, but anyways, Cole was on the way, and Michelle and Brent were just newly married, and they're starting up this church, and then all of a sudden, like, Pastor Brent notices that, you know, he got holes in his socks. And his socks are missing. And then, you know, just praying to the Lord. He's like, "Lord, I need socks. Lord, provide socks for in my life." And then all of a sudden, they get like this, like, message that there was a package for them at the train station. And so they open, and there was a bundle of socks for Pastor Brent. So now his socks, his feet aren't cold no more. Church, what I'm trying to say What I'm trying to say is that we need to trust in the Lord that He's going to provide. Where God guides, God provides. Hope in the Lord forth and forevermore. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Stop right there. The psalmist opens up with this request to the Lord to remember David and all his afflictions and his suffering. Now, we do not know who the psalmist is, but, you know, a lot of commentators say it's Solomon, and we don't really know the specific type of affliction and suffering that David goes through, but we know from the rest of the psalm that this is probably written around the time when David was rebuilding the temple. But here's the thing, David actually did not build the temple. God didn't want, you know, a man of war, a person with a lot of blood on his hands to build a temple for him. He wanted a man of peace. And so David, in his heart, he really wanted to, but he had to pass it over to Solomon. And so Solomon was in charge and he was overseeing the project of rebuilding the temple. But David, he sponsored and supported a majority of the materials and the equipment to build the temple. And so the temple was built. Basically, David, who was king, you know, he desired a temple. The Ark of the Covenant, you know, that represented God's presence at the time, was always kept in a tabernacle. But God wanted a temple. So going back to our passage, even though David wasn't allowed, look at his persistence in building the temple. He wouldn't go to his room. He wouldn't sleep. He wouldn't eat. You know, he wouldn't rest. And now this is all hyperbole and this is all over exaggerated, but this is just, it just shows the attitude of David of wanting to build a temple for the Lord. And I think we have to have that same attitude. Persistence. When I was reading this, I was really thinking about, like, what do I need to be persistent about? Because in my own personal life, because I know that God saved me and God changed me, the gospel saved me, the gospel changed me, you know, I really have that desire to advance the gospel. But sometimes, you know, because I'm battling with flesh and spirit, you know, I get so content and I slow down because, like, okay, you know, I'll do it another time. I'll speak. I'll evangelize to that person another time. But here's the thing. We need to be persistent like David. I need to be persistent like David. If there's a project, if there's a command that the Lord has given us, let us not be, you know, sluggard. Let us be persistent. Let us not rest until, you know, we do so. Let us advance the kingdom of God. Moving on, verse 6 and 7. Behold, we heard in Ephratah, we found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Ephratah, a town in the Judean country, was later named Bethlehem, which we know. Now this certain town, the Ark of the Covenant was stationed there for a while. It was housed there for a while. The people there heard about how there is this tabernacle set up and how the Ark of the Covenant was there and how the Lord's presence was there, was near. And so the people, knowing that the Ark of the Covenant was close to them, they shouted, let us go to the tabernacle. Let us go to the footstool and worship the Lord. The Lord is near. Let us worship Him. And so I believe this is a great reminder for us new covenant believers because, you know, we are, you know, now in the family of God, because of the gospel, you know, God doesn't dwell no longer in buildings made by man. We were purchased, we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. God was on a mission. God sent his son from heaven down to earth so that people might be brought back to him. And the thing is, because now we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is now near to us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of our hearts. He doesn't live in the buildings made by man, but now He lives in our own hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. It says in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is I no longer who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the flesh, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so what I'm trying to say, as believers, we can worship God anywhere we want. We don't need to travel long ways to go to a tabernacle or to a temple. We can just worship God and all day and every day. You know, it doesn't have to just be on a Sunday or a Monday or a midweek Bible study. We can worship the Lord and, you know, go to Him and enter the throne room of grace anytime we want. Church, just like this people, may we too be excited to worship God. May we be excited to give Him glory and praise that is due. 8 and 10. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. So we see here, you know, the psalmist praying and dedicating the temple. He prays that God would rest, and that the priest would be righteous, and that the people would shout for joy. You know, that's what God wants. That's what God desires for, you know, His servants, the priest, and anyone who serves in the church and wants to be His disciple. He wants people to strive after righteousness, to strive after purity, to be set apart. And He also wants His people to rejoice, to be in unity, to know that God is the only thing that can satisfy. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my commandment and my testimony, I shall teach them. Their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. Just like David in the first 5 verses, David made a promise to God. And here we see God making a promise to David. What was that promise that God made to David? It says in the text that God will make one of David's offsprings, one of David's sons, sit on the throne forever. But here's the thing. There's a condition that had to happen. They had to keep His covenants, and they had to keep His testimonies. This verse is a messianic prophecy waiting to be fulfilled. So we know Jesus. You see Jesus, He's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. We know that He's King. And so we know His mission, how He went to heaven, and from heaven He went down to earth, and, you know, He did His mission. He did what God called Him to do, you know, and you know, after that, after His cross and after His resurrection, He went back to heaven, ascended back to heaven, and currently right now He's seated at the right hand of God. Well, we are waiting for His return. As a church, we need to be excited that Jesus is coming back. As a church, we need to know that our King is going to return, and that He's going to be setting His throne forever. Are we ready for the coming of our King? Are we letting people know about the judgment before? Do we have that earnest desire to advance the gospel to those who are perishing? And so the last 5 verses in here, we will see God being provider for His people. Verse 13, 18. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will come with shame, but upon Himself His crown shall flourish. You see, God loves the nation of Israel. God loves them. He has chosen them. He did back then, and He still does now. Even though right now, You know, the Jews, Israel, they have rejected the Messiah. They have rejected Jesus as being the way, the truth, and the life. They have closed their ears and hardened their hearts. But the thing is, God still chose them. God still has a plan for Israel. In fact, you know, when I was studying this, I was reminded of Romans chapter 14. Even though they're hardened, even though, you know, they're closed off, God still has a plan. And even Paul, the apostle Paul, says to the Gentiles, thank the Jews. Because without the Jews, the gospel wouldn't have gone to you. And so, thank you, Israel. Thank you, Israel. God still has a plan for them. God hasn't given up on Israel yet. And so let's just pray and then just give this the rest of our time to the Lord. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And Lord, I just thank you for just this opportunity where we can just hear from your word and hear from you. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sin that we learned earlier, Lord, and how you extend your mercy. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, we can't stand, Lord, if it's just us. But Lord, I thank you for Christ and his righteousness that was imputed to us, Lord. And so Lord, thank you for that. God, if there's anyone here that has unanswerable questions in their lives, Lord, I pray that, and I challenge them to just put their trust in you, put their hope in you forth and forevermore. Lord, may you comfort them, Lord. May you embrace them and know that your ways are good, even though your thoughts aren't our thoughts, your ways aren't our ways. Lord, I pray that we just trust that you have it all together and that you are sovereign. Lord, I thank you just for that we have access to worship you. Lord, we no longer have to go travel long distance, but Lord, we can worship you here, Lord, anywhere. And so God, I pray for this church, Lord. I pray for the rest of our week, the start of our week, Lord. Lord, I pray for the students that are going back to school. Lord, we know that school has a lot of, Lord, temptation and, Lord, a lot of, Lord, worldly things. God, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would just keep them from stumbling, Lord, and that you just put a hedge of protection around our youth and our students. God, may they be lights in a dark world. And so, Lord, we just give this time to you, and Lord, may we seek and aim to live for you in our week today and in our week to come, Lord. And so, God, thank you, and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.